My name is Ed Frawley, and of course I own Learburg. This video, we just finished a project. It's one of the largest projects that we've done in many years, and it's a two-part project that we produced on training protection work with Michael Ellis.
Okay, so let's run through some stuff. You people can get up if they want. One of the things that we run into that's a classic problem is what I call equipment bias. Right? So dogs, if they learn to bite only on jute is a common one. Jute is the material they make Schutzensleeves out of. So it's this woven rough fabric like that. And it's the thing they make the sleeve covers. These are out of jute. If the dogs grow up biting only that, then frequently you try to put the dog onto something else, like these linen materials, like they make suits out of, and the dog has a really hard time. They don't like it. There are, and we'll talk about this as we talk about the stages, but there are what I call windows of opportunity for exposure. So we all tend to talk about the critical socialization periods and stuff. We all know that dogs' brains are developing when they're young, and if they're exposed to certain things at a certain time when they're growing up, they're confident about them. If they miss exposure to those things, they can have problems with them later on. We're all really aware of that in terms of general dog temperament. Well, it's also true when we go to bite work and protection work and exposing the dog at certain times. And so critical periods are young puppyhood. For most of the dogs, up to, I would say, somewhere around a year and a half. Now, it depends on the breed and the bloodline and their maturity levels, but that first year and a half or so of their life, if they're exposed to certain things in that period, then you can leave it and come back 2 years later and they're fine with it. If you don't expose them in that period of time, and now I bring them out and they're 3 or 4 years old, and I try to expose them to one of these new stimuli, they frequently have problems with them. Right? It's very common, even very good dogs. So you see lots of incredibly good Schutzen dogs, very strong dogs of excellent character, not nervous, everything's great, that have only ever bit a Schutzen sleeve on somebody's left arm. Right? And now I stand in the blind and I put one of these linen suit material sleeves on my right arm, and he comes in and I give him a bite and he spits it out like it's electric. He goes, ah! And he starts running around looking for the sleeve, right? It happens really regularly. It's uncanny how much the dogs say get patterned into a certain habit, and then if anything's outside of it. And we know it too in obedience, right? If we play with only one kind of toy when our dogs are young, later on you see these dogs that are insane for a tennis ball, but won't play with a rubber ball. And that's just equipment bias that happened because somebody played with one kind of thing all through their kind of critical period while they're learning about the world and things, and they decided this feels right in my mouth and this doesn't feel right in my mouth, right? And some dogs don't have that problem. Some dogs switch relatively easily, and other dogs won't. And in my opinion, I used to think that it was a sign of the quality of the dog, but it's not necessarily. Some of the dogs, you just expose them a little when they're young, and they turn out to be fantastic dogs, really good in the bite work, really good in all that sort of thing. So you'll notice I have a lot of different stuff. The general thrust is we start with softer things, and then we progress to harder things as we go, right? So the dog's jaw development and their mouth and all those sorts of things are gonna dictate how hard a surface they can bite at what age. We frequently start with like rags, and they may be burlap, or they may be leather, or I may have linen versions of these, but it's something I can flap around like a towel. The puppy chases it, bites it, tugs a little bit. We use the leather a lot in the beginning because it's kind of slippery, and the dogs have to hold on to it with jaw compression, as opposed to if I use like a burlap rag, the dog can just hook their teeth into it, and so they don't have to hold on with their mouth. They just hook their teeth in and hold on. So lots of times when we're trying to get the young dogs to hold, clamp down and hold on, using their jaw strength, we'll use something that they can't hook their teeth in. So we use a leather one. And then we just sort of switch around. I'll use a leather one some, I'll use a burlap one some, I'll go through. And then generally my transition is from once I'm off a rag or a leather or something like this, is I transition onto little soft puppy-like sleeves, right? So, and these come in all kinds of different materials as well, from suit material to more jute material and a variety of these things. And they're very compressible. It's just soft foam inside. Really compressible. These are made by Belgian and French companies primarily. They're the ones that really make this stuff, though there are more companies around the world starting to make them. I still think the most of the high quality ones are coming out of Belgium or France for the most part. So, and we'll go on to something like this, and then gradually up in terms of weight. So this one gets a little stiffer. This one's stiffer yet, and this is a leg sleeve. So this is exactly like a sleeve for your arm, for your leg. So one of the things that we do with young dogs, if I'm teaching them bite work, is I frequently vary the place they bite on my body, again, so they don't get stuck in a rut. So I may have a Schutzen dog, and that dog may only ever bite a sleeve in his working career, but I give him bites on other parts of my body so that he doesn't have a bias. So if something weird happens and it doesn't look quite right to him, he adapts, right? And lots of dogs get patterned so much, you see it all the time with guys, most right-handed helpers wear the sleeve on their left arm, and they use the stick with their right arm. And you see dogs that have only been worked on the left arm, and they get right arm, you get a left-handed helper who wears the sleeve on his right arm, and the dogs have all kinds of problems from that change, just that little change in picture. You patterned it a certain way, and again, it may have nothing to do with the quality of the dog, simply what his habits are. So we'll change things around. Sometimes I'll give them on my leg, sometimes I'll give it on my arm, sometimes I'll give it on the inside of my arm, etc. So they get used to biting different places, and they look at their target. It helps targeting. So later on we'll talk about targeting, how we teach dogs to bite certain places. And again, it's like when I'm playing with my dogs. So the people that have been through the seminars and know when we're playing with a toy with a dog, we make a lot of different presentations with our toy. So our dog learns to target the toy instead of just launch at some specific spot. We've all done it. Like we used to always play, we'd out the dog off a tug, and then we'd give the dog the tug right here in front of our body, and we'd do that 1,000 times. So then later on, you stick the tug out to the side, and the dog comes here. He doesn't even look where the tug is. He just goes on muscle memory and goes to the spot that he's always gone. And that can happen with your sleeve work and protection work too. If I'm working a dog and I always give the exact same presentation with the same arm, then the dog's gonna go to that spot regardless of where the sleeve is. And then if I get in a trial and some guy's taller or shorter or makes a weird presentation, his is a little out to the side instead of straight in front of his body or whatever, his personal style, my dog misses the bite or doesn't get a good bite because he's like going to the same spot he always goes to. He's not thinking. So one of the things that we do, the same thing we would do with a toy, if I'm playing with a toy with my dog, I teach him to bite it here, 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 all these different spots. And then we'll do the same thing with our bite equipment as we go. We progress. We'll give the dog slightly different targets so the dog learns, oh, hey, look where I'm going, bite the thing I'm supposed to look at, and they don't get stuck on one specific picture. Then also, if I decide to go off in a different direction with the dog, I have flexibility.
I went out to California a number of years ago, and I filmed this at Michael Ellis's school. Since then, a year and a half ago, Michael closed that school. So this 2-week course, which I came back and we edited, I think we have close to 300 hours of editing time in putting this together. And there's 753 short videos in this course. And as I go along, I'm going to pull videos out of these 753 and release them on YouTube so that people can see the quality of information that we've put together here. If you're new to bite work, if you want to learn how to control your dogs in a very high level of anxiety, this is a course that's going to teach you an awful lot. If you're a professional dog trainer, and I don't care who you are as a professional dog trainer, you're going to learn something from this course. It is really, really good. But in the meantime, you can go to learburg.com and see all of the courses that we've produced since 1982. We've been in business for a long time. It's all we do. And there's good information for brand new dog trainers there.